Hi, welcome back to my MVA course, Building Recommendation Systems in Azure. We have now reached the second module after the first introductory module with what is machine learning, what are recommendations, what are recommendation systems. With this module called Targeted Marketing, let's just skip to the next one. What I'm going to do in this module is first give a short introduction to Azure Machine Learning, and then going into binary classification. You might wonder, what does binary classification have to do with recommendation engines? Just bear with me a second. I'll go into this into more detail in a few minutes. So let's get first started with Azure Machine Learning. I'm not going to do a huge introduction to Azure Machine Learning because there are a lot of other really good resources on Azure Machine Learning. There are other MVA courses as well. But still, in short, what the whole vision of Azure Machine Learning is to democratize machine learning, to actually make it accessible to every single one in the enterprise. Well, let's face it, throughout the world. So making it accessible to every enterprise developer, to data scientists, to information workers, consumers, and so on and so forth. And how Azure Machine Learning does it is as follows. I mean, well, there's certain workflow with Azure Machine Learning. Obviously, you first have to start off with data. The data can be in the cloud, already uploaded in Azure Blob Storage, Azure SQL Database, and so on and so forth. If your data is still stored locally, you then have to upload it in an Azure Blob Storage. You can do this actually in the Machine Learning Studio later on anyways. Then the very exciting bit is actually in the dark blue box where, yeah, it's actually getting fun. This is the IDE for machine learning. Machine Learning Studio is all browser-based. You've got nothing to install. You don't need extra hardware and so on and so forth. It's all in a browser of your choice. You don't even have to take Internet Explorer. And then, yeah, obviously it refers back to a storage account that this machine learning workspace is based on. And in this canvas or in Machine Learning Studio, you can just get crazy with building your machine learning models with, and I usually call Azure Machine Learning something like Visio for data scientists because it's literally dragging and dropping certain modules that you can choose from a huge catalog of machine learning algorithms, of data processing modules, and so on and so forth. Once you have found your, once you've actually found your perfect or your best performing model, you can deploy this as a web service within a few minutes, or actually within a few seconds. The whole point of deploying this as a web service is, hey, you can actually get it integrated in productive code easily and very in a very short time. Because usually data scientists work for months on figuring out which model is actually very good. And then it takes another while till it actually gets integrated in productive code. If it's a website, an app, or any sort of dashboard. If you think that this model that you have created is really like something where you can think, oh yeah, okay, I can actually make money with this, you can publish this in the Azure Marketplace as well. I will go into this more detail in the last module, but more of, okay, what is actually already offered in the Azure Marketplace, what you can then integrate into your website. So I think we can get almost started. But first, let's get ready for our scenario. So here in this case, we have a bike shop. We have a lot of data for the SQL DBAs amongst you. You most likely have heard of the AdventureWorks database. Basically, we are making use of the Adventure database and then try to categorize or classify our customer base. So just imagine you are in a marketing department and want to send out newsletters. And you probably do the same thing that I do, as in just throw away all the newsletters, or they go straight into junk mail. And this is probably the worst case scenario that a marketing person can think of. So as a marketing person, you obviously want to make it more personalized and more targeted, want to make it more personal, but then also just not spread it out to millions of people, but only to the very relevant people. So how do you find out which people are actually relevant? And this is how we use binary classification. We want to find out which of the customers are most likely to respond slash actually buy a bike. And therefore, it's a binary classification. A classification is, okay, you have all your data points, let's say, data points that you want to categorize in a certain number of buckets. And a classification is a binary classification if there are only two buckets. In this case, either this person is likely to buy or he's not going to buy anything. So here in this demo, we will actually go through all those stages, getting the raw data, cleaning the data, and then building and evaluating the model, and then finally predicting. So with predicting, I actually mean publishing this as a web service, and then this web service can be used to predict the outcome of new customers or of incoming customers. So let's get started with the demo. So let's first look at the data that we are taking. So as I mentioned, I'm using the AdventureWorks database that you can find in this download page or here on CodePlex. I've actually written a step-by-step guide in my blog how to set it up as an Azure SQL database. Why, you wonder? Well, I'm reading the data in the machine learning studio later on from the Azure SQL database. This is something that I would recommend. You can actually have it local as well, but you can't upload it in the machine learning studio because the data that you can upload are usually CSV, TSVs, and some other similar formats as well. So if you haven't done that yet, or if you need some guidance, I recommend you going through this blog article. It pretty much takes you step by step, where you find certain resources. So we've covered that, and we want to go into the Azure Machine Learning Studio. So the one thing that you definitely need to remember is this website, studio.azureml.net. So we go into that one, and as I mentioned, it's completely browser-based. You don't need to install anything. You don't need to get any extra hardware either. So here I'm already signed in, and you can see, obviously, the home page with webinars and more resources. What I find interesting, just as a side note, is the gallery. So I mentioned the Azure Marketplace, where you can publish your machine learning models and monetize them. If you think, hey, your model is pretty cool, and other people might actually learn a lot from them, from your model, then you can also publish this in the gallery. So the whole community idea of sharing is caring. So here you can see some other APIs that are offered, and one of my favorites is this one, where you can use binary classification as well to figure out how high your chances on survival on the Titanic would have been. So it sounds pretty fun, but let's get to serious and let's try and classify our customers. So when I click on Studio, I can see a lot of experiments that I've already created beforehand. But before we create a new experiment, let's have a look at the data at first. So I'm using a particular view called dbo.vTargetMail. And this actually gives me some information, obviously a customer key, first names, birth dates, and so on and so forth. The interesting column for us would be the very last one, Which is called bike buyer. So as I said, it's a binary classification. Either he is a bike buyer or he's not a bike buyer, as in she as well. So this is the column that we actually want to predict in the end. So this is all in the Azure SQL database. And we now want to read it into our new experiment in Machine Learning Studio. So let's first create a new experiment. And we go on new experiment, blank experiment. And so, as I said, we want to read in the data. We go here to data input, reader, and just drag it in. Let me just save this experiment as well as target marketing. And here with reader, okay, we can see that there is a value required. Obviously, we need to specify what Azure, where to read the data from. So on the right-hand side or in the properties pane, we specify Azure SQL database. The database server name would be Olivia K at VentureWorks. Then the database name is VentureWorks Data Warehouse 2014. My user account name, and then obviously signing in. Here we can paste in any sort of database query. We can actually paste in the query that has been displayed before in SQL Server Management. But here in this case, we actually want to just select certain columns. So I'm going to choose certain sets of columns, as I've mentioned beforehand. This is the query that I'm going to run. Just copy and paste it into here. And then I can just run it to read in the data first. This will be useful for later on if I want to have a drop-down menu. And then it's already all offered in there without having to type it in all manually. So the data is now all read in that we can see here with the green tick. If we want to have a closer look, we can save it as a data set or we can visualize it. So with visualizing, it's pretty much just peeking into the data set. So we can see it has 18,000 rows and 16 columns. Obviously, we can see customer keys and so on and so forth. We can also have a look at the marital status, so whether we are dealing with a customer that is married or single. Nicely done, also on the right-hand side, you can easily get a histogram as well. So it seems to be that most of our customers are actually married, or more than half of them. And then obviously we can also have a look at the gender distribution here, slightly more male people than female. And then as I mentioned, the most interesting one to us is the final column, bike buyer. And it's fairly evenly distributed. So slightly more than half of them actually didn't buy a bike in the end. And slightly less than half of our customers ended up buying a bike. Here also we can have a nice distribution of the age. So, okay, we've read in the data, so we got the raw data. Now the next step would be cleaning the data. So I usually recommend cleaning the data already beforehand because as we import the data into machine learning, into Azure Machine Learning, we can already have some gut feeling, okay, which are actually the relevant columns. And just for the sake of focusing on building the model, the cleaning data process step will be held extremely trivial. In this case, I'm just going to drop some more columns. So how do I drop some columns? I use the module called project columns. So I'm projecting columns saying, okay, either I'm selecting or I'm dropping columns. Here again, some values required, obviously, which columns do I want to keep or not? For that, I'll go to the properties pane and click on launch column selector. So in this case, I start off with all columns actually, because I only want to drop a few columns. Obviously, I can also create a whitelist, as in I want to keep only 4 columns out of the 16, but in this case, I want to drop 2. So since I start off with all columns, I want to, exclude certain columns and leave it at column names. And then, nicely done, I can just get a drop-down list of all the things that I don't want to have. So I don't need a customer alternate key because we already have the real customer key. And then I don't need a geography key as well. Well, you can also drop some more columns. In this scenario, let's just leave it at that. So we've projected the columns and that's it to cleaning data. As I said beforehand, it's usually much more than just dropping a few columns. Typically, it takes up 80% of your time as a data scientist to clean the data. Just building the model doesn't really take that much time. It's mostly, okay, which data is relevant, which data is accurate, and so on and so forth. And then having just probably about 20% of your data left that is actually useful for your machine learning model. So let's now get into building a model. And since it's binary classification, we first want to split the data into training and testing data set. Why do you want to do that? Well, in the end, once we have actually built our model, we want to know which one is good or how well is our model actually performing. And how can we know this? Hence, we want to test the machine learning model on the remaining testing data set. Otherwise, if we apply this machine learning model again on the training data set, that would be cheating. It would be pretty much just like learning for a physics test for the next day, but already knowing what the questions will be and what the answers will be. So yeah, here in this case, we don't know the answers yet for the testing data set, but we want to compare it later on with the predicted and the truth value. So how do we split it? Let's just type it in, split, and then we find one here. And as I said, with the Visio principle, we just drag in and drop, drag in a line. On the right-hand side, we can specify how much of this data set should be used for training. Usually, I would say 80% for training, remaining 20% for testing, but obviously it depends how much data you actually have. So in this case, we take 80% of it and see that there are two outputs. One is result data set 1, obviously, and the other data set 2, training, testing data set. So now let's actually build the model. And for that, we go here into machine learning, initialize model, and we know it's classification. And since it's a binary classification, it's a two-class model that we are going to use. Here we can, let's just say, let's just take a two-class boosted decision tree. We can already see parameters being set. What this module essentially is some empty template, and that's it. And this empty template is of no use to us unless we actually use this algorithm to be trained on the training data set that we have here. And therefore, we use another module called train model. We drag it in here and see, okay, it takes two inputs. The first one is an untrained model, which is here, this one in this case. And then obviously we need to drag in some data set because we want to apply a certain model on top of some data set. So I drag it in here. It still requires a value because obviously we need to tell Machine Learning Studio what column this model is supposed to predict. Hence again, just like with project columns, on the right-hand side, launch column selector, include, and then here we say we want to predict a bike buyer. And you can see again a drop-down list to choose from. Okay, so we have now trained our model. So next step would be actually testing how well has this model actually, how well is this model actually performing. So this would be score model. I think score model is just another way of saying applying a trained model on some testing data set. So we can see here the first input that score model is taking as trained model. So here in this case, this would be a trained model, dragging it in here. The second input is again a data set. Here we can take the training data set, but as I mentioned before, and this would be cheating. So we are taking the testing data set, the remaining 20%, and drag it in here. And that's it. It doesn't need any more parameters. So this is one thing. The other thing is, or the other killer feature about Azure Machine Learning is we can easily compare two different machine learning algorithms. So we saw that there's an abundance of two-class machine learning algorithms. Which ones should we choose? So in this case, we can just take two-class base point machine, and then just pretty much do the same thing as we've done with the two-class boosted decision tree. So in this case, I'll just select it, copy, and then paste it. Drag it in here, and then drag in the lines just like on the left-hand side as well. So here, the training data set, and then dragging in the testing data set into the score model. Now it's all about actually evaluating this, and we can see up here under machine learning as well, evaluate model. And it takes in two different models. And with evaluate model, it takes a variety of evaluation metrics. Let me just run this for now and then explain it while it is running. So with evaluation, so there are a couple of evaluation metrics for machine learning models. It starts off with a confusion matrix. So especially in the case of binary classification, the confusion matrix is a 2x2 matrix. So either true positives, false negatives, and so on and so forth. Just seeing, okay, with true positives, this would mean there's this one customer who we predicted to be a bike buyer, and turn out he actually was a bike buyer, so true positive. A false negative would be a customer who we predicted to be not a bike buyer, but turn out he actually was a bike buyer. Beside the confusion matrix, there's also accuracy, precision, recall, and F1. And then there are also some diagrams that can be used, such as the ROC or ROC curve. And with this ROC curve, it's a very nice visualization to easily compare different machine learning models. And as soon as it's done running, and we can see that it's running just in the last evaluate model, I can actually show you the diagram. In the meantime, I can actually have a look in score model as well. So remember, score model is just another way of saying applying a model on given data set or applying a trained model. So we can see, okay, 16 columns, meaning remember, we kicked out two columns in the beginning, and we apparently gained two more columns. And actually, we got one column which is called scored label. So the predicted label, yes, a bike buyer, not a bike buyer, and scored probabilities. Because remember, machine learning is not really about predicting. It's more about calculating probabilities of an event happening. So the probabilities here are probabilities of how likely this, or how high the chances are that this customer is a bike buyer. So here, for instance, let's have a look at this probability, 35%. So with a confidence or a probability of 35% being a bike buyer, well, it's less than 50%. So we just classify or label this person as not a buyer. Turns out to be right, in fact, because here 0 and 0, this person was not a bike buyer, and we predicted correctly. But you can see we just took the threshold to be automatically at 50%. This is obviously also variable. It can be put at 90% or 30%. This is something that needs to be figured out later on as well. And then here on the right-hand side again, you can get a histogram. It's very similar to the one of the training data set as well. So here with evaluate model, just clicking here, we can save it as a data set. Actually, we want to visualize it, see what it actually gives. And as I mentioned, here is the ROC curve. And if it would have been along the diagonal, this would mean it's the same as if you were throwing a coin. It's completely left to random or, yeah, to luck. And the nearer the curve is to towards this, the y-axis and this axis, the more accurate or the better performing this model is. But then on the other hand, you don't want it to be exactly at those axes because then it would be overfitting. It's just too good or too well trained on this certain data set that it doesn't actually allow for any anomalies. So some generalization has to be taken into account. But here we can see that clearly the blue line, or the first machine learning model that we used, as in the boosted decision tree, is the better performing one. And here are some other curves, such as precision and recall. Here you would want to have the line to be as even as possible. And then here, the lift curve. And as I mentioned, here you can see the confusion matrix, as in true positives, false negatives, and so on and so forth, and some other or some more evaluation metrics. The threshold of 50% can be adjusted here as well. And obviously, it would have an effect on the performance of those algorithms. So we have now trained our models. We now know as well which of those two models we want to use, because the boosted decision tree is the better performing one. So let's just save that model. We just do it on the train model, click on here and click on save as trained model. So I'll call this targeted marketing. I'll do an MVA beforehand. Click OK. And now we want to actually prepare our web service. So this web service, we want to use this web service as something like an oracle. So we want to give it all the criteria on the customer that we have. And in the end, all we want to know is the probability of this customer being a bike buyer, and then also saying yes or no, or in this case, one or zero. So OK, we saved it. So based on the things that we want from a web service, we have no need whatsoever of this two-class point machine on this other trained model. So we just delete it. Before I do that, I'll just save it as well as a web service experiment. So OK, I've selected these three modules. Delete these ones. Let me delete them. We don't need to evaluate anymore either, because we've already evaluated our model. All we want to know are those two columns, scored labels and scored probabilities, as in one or zero for bike buyer and how high the probability. So in this case, we take score model and use, as I said, only those, we only want those two columns. And therefore, we use the module called project columns as in the beginning. Drag it in here and specify those two columns. This time, we actually start with no columns because we are creating a whitelist. And then just type in scored labels and scored probabilities. That's it. So we are covered on the output side. Now, towards the input side. Okay, before we do the input side, as I said, we have already saved our trained model already as an entity module, for instance. So where do I find it? In the catalogs pane, I just go to train models and see this one here, MVA target marketing. So I can just drag it in here it works perfectly fine because here we are dealing with a trained model, not an untrained model. Since we are dealing with a web service and not with building a model, there's no need in splitting the data either. So I just deleted as well the split module and drag it a little further up. but then obviously we need some data input. So I drag it in here. The important thing here as well is we don't need the bike buyer column. This is something that we want to predict. We don't want it to want to use it as an input. So hence we drop that last column here as well. It's called bike buyer. And then we are almost done with preparing our web service. The only thing that we need to specify is, okay, which is input, what is output. So what we do is we go to here web service and see input, drag it in here. The input is in here because remember, these are all the criteria that we want to give to the web service so that then we can get the output of bike buyer or not and how high the probability is. So here output after the project columns. And we are all set with our web service experiment. Let's just run it, okay? So this experiment has finished running, seemed to be all fine. And we see that we can actually now deploy this as a web service as well. We just click on here and after a while, and just in a matter of a few seconds, we are redirected to another site. So if we click on test, here we can see all the criteria or the input data that we require for us to actually make the prediction. Since we can't be really bothered to actually type it all in, there's another way of easing it as well, or simplifying it. We can just download an Excel workbook. Let's just download it then. So it automatically has opened an Excel workbook. I enable editing and also enable the content. So with enabling the content, I can just copy paste in certain input criteria or input data, and in the end get the predicted value as well that we can see here in the green column. To copy it, to use some input parameters, I go back to the SQL Server management, use the same database query that I've used to read in the data into Machine Learning Studio. Obviously, I'm kicking out three columns because we are not actually taking them into account for our machine learning model, which is geographer key and customer alternate key and bike buyer. I'm just going to leave it there so that we can see the truth value actually. And I don't want to select all of them. I just select the top 10 where, let's say, customer key is greater than some random value. So here we have some values. I can just select them all and copy them and paste them into here. We can see that the predictions have been made on the right-hand side and alongside with their predictions as well, the probabilities, I mean. So if we want to compare it with the truth values, let's see how well it has done. So it has actually done some good predictions, except for the last one, where it has predicted it to be a bike buyer with a probability of 80%. Turns out he's not, or this person is not. Maybe it means that the threshold needs to be adjusted. So you see, there's a lot of experimentation. With this, we are coming to an end with this module called Targeted Marketing. In this module, what we've covered is first, okay, what is Azure Machine Learning? Why Azure Machine Learning? And we've used Azure Machine Learning to set up a machine learning model in a scenario of binary classification. The scenario is targeted marketing. So we have a bike shop. We want to identify which customers, based on their demographic data that we have, are likely to be bike buyers and therefore can be targeted in a much more efficient way. In the next modules, we will be looking into collaborative filtering and then content-based filtering. So stay tuned.